Welcome back to the John Curley, Sherry Elliker radio experience, soon with haptic feedback. Mother's Day is this Sunday, and many people are talking about it. Sherry, you and I talked about it, and we opened up a huge chapter in our relationship where I told you about my relationship with my mom, which is strained at best, one could say. And so you painted this lovely picture of what you're going to do with your mom, where you guys are going to, like, go out and you're going to enjoy each other's company and you're going to shop together and get lunch together and reflect on past memories and maybe laugh together and maybe some tears along the way. My Sunday, my Sunday will be a lot of me reminding my mom that she has to leave at one. She's not allowed to stay. I have plans. You have
is that like a house rule that mom is only allowed to stay a certain amount of time, or is it that you're just busy that day?
I have nothing to do that day other than avoid spending time with my mom.
Okay. Well, so, okay. I'll take this in a little bit of a different direction, which is that this article talks about the fact that there was a survey about what moms want this year in 2022. And about 35%, they want a card. 32% want quality time. 25% want a special meal. 15% want something sentimental. 8% want wine. That seemed very low to me.
A little weird.
And 7% want beauty care. Any of these items on your list of what to give your mom on Sunday in that time frame before she walks out the door at 1 o'clock?
Not even a card? I will probably do card flower combo. She really appreciates flowers. She likes flowers. Problem is, Sherry, is that I am a big brain person. I am a big wrinkly brain person with like complex thoughts about all kinds of stuff.
With the number one rated radio show.
Highly rated, respected by my peers, respected by both management and people underneath me. As you can see, Jacob respects me to no end.
Oh, interesting. I'm learning I'm underneath you, Jack. That's good to know.
Well, it goes hosts, and then it goes management, and then it goes hosts, and then it goes everybody else. That's just the hierarchy I've developed in my mind, which is
We're learning a lot about you today,
right,
Jack.
Well, that's why I put my feet on other people's desks when I come to Cairo Radio Studio. I just kick up my feet, and I smoke my big old cigar, and I say, "What's going on today, boys?" in the newsroom. Where was I? Mother's Day. Okay. So my spending time with my mom is tedious for me at best because I'm a genius and I have complicated thoughts and I want to talk about complicated things that are interesting. My mom wants to talk about, like, she'll show me pictures of my distant cousins who I haven't spoken to in years. And then she'll say, "Do you remember this person?" And I go, "Yes, I remember that person." And then she goes, "This is your cousin." And I go, "Yep, I remember that that's my cousin." And then she'll say, "They have babies now." And I go, "Yep, I know that they have babies now." And then she says, "Why don't you have babies? I want to be a grandmother." And then it turns into that kind of a conversation. It's never pleasant. It's never nice. It's never enjoyable. It's always burdensome. My mom is very onerous. She's very she's just not a nice lady. Like, if she wasn't my mom, I probably wouldn't want to spend time with her. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like that kind of a thing. We're just such different people that there is no, like, overlap there. We're not really friends. She's not particularly funny. She's not particularly interesting. She's just kind of, like, boring.
Jack,
what?
Come on.
What?
She's your mom.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
I'm not
she's
scolding
not very...
you, but I'm scolding you. And does she feel this way about you? What is she saying about you right now? If somebody was saying, "Hey, what's your mom's name?" Well, don't
Jill.
Tell me her name.
Jill.
Jill. What are you and Jack doing for Mother's Day? What's Jack going to do for you for Mother's Day? Would she say, "You know, he's not that interesting."
Yeah,
he's
probably.
He's not that funny. I mean, I have a big brain. He doesn't. So, I mean, what's she saying about you right now?
She, I'm sure my mom brags a lot about her favorite son, who she loves very much. But my mom doesn't really know what I do.
But that's your brother.
No. No. My mom doesn't really even know what I do. My mom thinks that I have, like, my mom thinks that I, like, come on the radio in between songs and read the news. Like, she doesn't actually understand what I do for a living. She just thinks, like, I have this, like, nice little, I pop up every 15 minutes and say, today in the news, this happened. She doesn't know anything about my political opinions. She doesn't know anything about how I feel about the world. But my mom is also like a racist, Sherry. She's a very casually bigoted woman, and it's very difficult to be around her when she says racist stuff, especially since, you know, Sarah, my wife is Filipino. So it's like really uncomfortable when my mom shares her beliefs about people of other ethnicities.
Well, is your mom close to Sarah? I mean, she seems like she accepts her, right?
So she,
Never mind.
Yeah, no, that's like oil and water between the, I mean, Sarah tries to be very accommodating to my mom. But, like, my mom is also, like, homophobic and deeply bigoted, and so it makes it difficult to have any kind of conversations about anything. My mom watches Newsmax, Sherry. Newsmax. How am I supposed to communicate with a woman who only watches Good Morning America and Newsmax? What kind of conversations can we have about the world?
Well, you can have conversations that don't have anything to do with politics. You can have conversations about what she did, how she's doing, what she's been up to. I mean, I'm sure, I don't know your mother's age, but I'm sure that, you know, if she's working, or is she still working?
Yeah, she works with horses, and she has a fascinating line.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
But I already know all about horses. I grew up with horses, so there's nothing really for us to, like.
Couldn't you just ask her a few more questions? Like, Mom, what? So tell me, do you have, like, a special horse that you're working with now?
But I bought her that horse, so I know the horse. You see what I'm saying? Like, the horse that she has now, I purchased.
Couldn't you just fake it a little bit just to be nice?
Nah, I've been faking it for, like, 34 years at this point. I've been faking it for so long that I'm like, she comes over and she takes a tour of my home, which she has been to, I don't know how many times. She's been to my house dozens of times, and she walks around my house. I don't know why she does this, but she, like, goes around my house and she asks, what's this? What's this? There's magic in the air. So that's, she just walks around my house, and then she asks me when I'm going to give her grandchildren. And then she'll
break.
But
that's a mom for. That's just moms. You know, they ask. They. My mom wasn't like that. My mom never put pressure on me to have kids. Like, she's like, do what you need to do. It's totally fine. She was okay with it. But most moms are like that. They're like, so, when are you going to have kids? I mean,
right.
That's just kind of being a mom, right? So can you give her a pass on that one?
Well, okay. So add on to this as well, the language barrier. So my mom is stone deaf. And so when she comes over, I have to interpret everything that is going on. So, which I'm good at, but I'm also, like, tired of doing it all the time. So she wants to converse with Sarah, and Sarah's job is very complicated and very technical. And so it's always a big ordeal. It's always a production whenever my mom comes over.
Does Sarah know sign language?
A little bit. But my mom is like, Sherry, I don't think, I've been to years of therapy to deal with this, my relationship with my mom. My mom is just not a good person. And I'm okay with that. I've realized that about once every 3 to 6 months, I can spend 2 hours with my mom and then send her on her merry way. And that's the kind of relationship that we can have. And I'm totally fine with it. We text sometimes. Hey, I love you. Hey, I love you too. But other than that, it's like, why pretend or why invest into somebody who's just not going to change? Like, if I ask my mom, I go, hey, Mom, you know, maybe, like, when you're around Sarah, like, you think maybe you could, like cut out the whole, like, you know, your whole, like, racist diatribes that you get from Newsmax? That would be really great. So, if for, as an instance, Sarah was looking at grad schools in San Diego a couple years back, and she was really excited to share that with my mom. And so we're talking to my mom about it, and then my mom goes, you can't move to San Diego. There's too many Mexican people down there. That's the kind of stuff that my mom says casually, and that's like a 2 on her racism scale. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is her worldview that she has. And so to try to, like, to try to navigate that, after a while, it just gets so tedious. And it's like, why do I put myself through this thing with a person that I don't really like? Do you know what I mean? I don't like the person that she is. And I'm okay with that because she's my mom. Right.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Nobody knows the backstory of somebody's childhood or past and
right.
what may have led up to a feeling that you have right now. So it's entirely possible that there's things that you don't want to talk about that, you know, that you still have feelings about. That
not really. No.
Okay. Never mind. I'm trying to help you out here. I don't know what to say.
I think that we sometimes forget that we have people that we are related to, that even though we might have a genetic bond to them, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to like them or necessarily even love them. And I think that we have fooled ourselves, or we've been kind of programmed into believing that just because you're related to somebody, you have to have some kind of affection for them. My dad was a terrible human being. My brother James was a neo-Nazi who was addicted to meth. If someone came to me and they said, yeah, but you gotta love your brother, I would go, no, I don't really want to love that neo-Nazi while he's smoking meth in his trailer. You know what I mean? So I think that we need to have better, or as a society, if we make those boundaries that say when somebody earns or is deserved of my affection over a period of time, then I give it to them. And if they don't, then we spend an hour together on Mother's Day and then they go back to their horses and we're all better for it, right?
Yeah, and you can't choose your family. You can choose your friends. So I guess that's the better path if you really feel that way.
Right.
I don't know if it's possible to, on a special day, if it means something to her to make the sacrifice to just kind of suck it up on a day that is important to her. Maybe Mother's Day is kind of, you know, if she's not terribly sentimental, maybe it doesn't mean that much to her. But if it does, I guess that's something you have to decide, is whether or not it's worth just pretending a little bit more on a special day.
Well, that's what I do. She's going to get the flowers and the card
yeah,
and
okay.
the hug and the so good to see you. Oh, my God. You got to come back over for Christmas. We'll see you in a couple of, you know, we're going right. to do that whole
Six
thing.
6 or 7 months from now.
Right.
Yeah. Does your brother feel the same way you do about
your mom? Oh, he's dead. No, he's long dead.
Oh,
No, that's okay. He was a terrible human being. He's only my half brother, by the way. But no, he died from a methamphetamine overdose. He wasn't my mom's son. He was my father's first son. So, but I think that, like I said before, we tell ourselves that we have to have these dedicated, strong relationships to people when they may have not earned it, when they haven't really earned it from us. And I think that we need to change the way we think about it.
Just as a lesson that people might be able to take away from this, Jack, does it bother you that everyone else in the world seems to make such a big deal about Mother's Day and treat it as this positive thing when there are many people that you know, maybe like yourself, that relationship isn't that positive, and so it's weird for everyone else to be acting like it's a fun, delightful thing.
No, I've got friends that have great relationships with their moms, and I love to see it. I think that it's a wonderful expression of bonds between people when people do have healthy familial relationships. But there's like I think like people need to think about it more. Like, does anybody have a creepy uncle or like a creepy aunt or something like that? Anybody?
I'm sure there are people out there that have strained relationships with people in their families. It is a little bit tougher when it's your parents, because, you know, clearly there's a bond there that is not supposed to be broken. It's a naturally supposed to be there, and that's what you hope. But I know that, you know, what we see on television and what we've been led to believe about families and about parents and about things, that doesn't always ring true. Not everybody has that kind of relationship. And I think Jacob's question is really good in that, do you feel cheated by, you know, that, or do you feel left out on a day like Mother's Day because
No.
your relationship with your mom isn't like you would see on TV, or maybe you would see in another area of your life with maybe Sarah's mom. Maybe she's got a great relationship with her mom. What are you guys eating or drinking? What's going on?
I'll just give an example. I have a great relationship with my very good friend, Billy Sunshine. He's like a father figure to me.
I know you love him. Yes.
I love, even though he's a degenerate and a terrible human being, his politics are awful. I love Billy because Billy has shown to me his goodness and his kindness and his unconditional love for me as his pseudo son. He always says that I'm the son that he never wanted. So Billy and I have formed our relationship over the course of like 5 or 6 years, and we're very, very close. I talk to Billy every single day. I choose to embrace the relationships that have meaning to me, that return something for me and that I can give. And I choose to ignore the relationships where it's just me giving and giving and giving and giving. And that's the relationship that I have with my mom.
Well, I guess if you can reconcile that and feel like whatever you do on Mother's Day is appropriate. And
yeah.
She's probably aware of the fact that you feel the way that you do on some level. So if you're both kind of okay with where the relationship is and everybody's sort of just, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through the motions on this particular day, but you need to leave or whatever, then who's – it's nobody's place to judge. I'm dancing as fast as I can here. I don't know what else to say. I'm really trying.
You make it sound so rough. She's going to come over. She's going to have flowers and a card, and she's going to get a hug, and we're going to go – we're going to go walk my Pomeranian, and we're going to chat about horses for about an hour, and we'll drink a lemonade, and it'll be a wonderful afternoon.
Lemonade, and then you'll continue with the charade.
Yeah, we'll continue with our charade. Okay. And then when 1 o'clock rolls around, I'll say, oh, Mom, I got to go do that thing. And then she'll go, oh, I love you so much. And I go, thanks, racist Mom. I love you too. And then that'll be... And that'll be the end of our Sunday together. By the way, we were supposed to talk about FDA limits on J&J vaccine, but we did 20 minutes on my relationship with my mom that I've cultivated over the last
right.
3 years.
And I need your insurance card, by the way, at the end of the segment. So.
Kimmy, any Mother's Day plans, mayhap?
Yeah. I'm hosting a build-your-own salad and taco bar. So
wow.
I was hoping for good that's weather. Nice. I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, I think it'll be good.
Does everybody have to leave at a certain point in time? Or is it?
I don't do the bare minimum like you, Jack. Sorry.
So the Biden administration, thinking about forgiving some student debt. They want to put a cap on it for people who earn less than $125,000 a year. And then I got another one here. It says it's a slap in the face. Some Americans are mad over the potential student loan forgiveness. I'm curious, Sherry, you and I have not talked about this particular topic before. I know Biden's been kicking this around. It was one of his promises on the campaign trail. He said that he was for... debt relief. He kind of did this weird thing that politicians do where when they stop in, like, let us just say, California, they say, we need to abolish student debt. And then when they stop in, like, Ohio, they go, I'm for some debt forgiveness, but not all of it. He did that largely on the campaign trail. And now it seems like the administration is sending out two messages. Some days it's up to $10,000. Other days it's everybody under $150,000 or $125,000. Sherry, I'm curious. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are this is totally unfair to people
wow.
that have paid their student debt. It's especially unfair for people that didn't go to college. If you didn't go to college, then you have to bear this burden as well when they forgive all of this. I think it's completely unfair. So what's happening now is you've got two different camps. You've got the Elizabeth Warrens of the world who want all debt to be forgiven, all student loan debt to be just taken away. And then you have President Biden who's saying, you know, he believes in some loan forgiveness, but he wants to do this in a way that's a little bit more measured. So he's saying, if you make less than $125,000 a year, you will not have your debt forgiven. And Elizabeth Warren and some other people are saying, okay, well, if you're only going to do it incrementally, then let's do at least $50,000. He's saying it's closer to $10,000 that he
right.
might forgive. So I think $125,000, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it seems like it should be way lower than that. Like if you're only making 50 grand or something like that and you're saddled with debt, I can see giving somebody a break. I disagree with it. I think it is the wrong strategy. And I think it is completely just a way for him to grab votes, for the midterms. But I also just, you know, I just think for people that worked really, really hard to pay back that loan, those loans, and now to have this happen. And the other issue is whether or not he can do this. If it doesn't need congressional action, or if he's not going to try to get it through Congress, then he's going to do it through an executive order. And will that hold up in court? So there's a lot of questions about whether or not he can really even accomplish this. But as far as it being a slap in the face, a lot of people are saying, you know, how can you address this without addressing the core issue of colleges cost so much money?
Right.
Shouldn't the colleges be somewhat culpable for some of this debt that's been accrued when it's $80,000 to go some places? And so maybe they should be picking up some of the tab of people that got into extraordinary debt. What do you think?
I will encapsulate this in an amusing anecdote. So when I was in college, I got a double major. I was in politics and also in film and digital media. And in one of my politics courses, we were it's right at the beginning of class, and it's a big old lecture hall. So there's probably 150 students in there, and the professor is about to begin lecturing. It's about an hour and a half class, I think, maybe 2 hours, and it's a lot of money in the room, you know, if you think about it. Everybody's paying tuition, everybody's paying for books, everybody's got a new computer, everybody's got room and board, so on and so forth. And the professor is maybe a couple minutes into her lecture. A guy busts in. You know, I'll never forget the guy. He's got dreadlocks, and he's got a bandana around his mouth like he's about to rob a train. And he says, "There's action going on down at the quad. Meet us there." And then everyone's like, "Oh, wow, okay, guy." And then he leaves the classroom. And then the professor says, "You know what? I think whatever's going on there is just as important as what's going on here. Class is dismissed." And then all of these people got up and they all left. And I'm sitting there. I didn't leave. I'm just sitting there. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm paying for this time.
Yeah.
This is not free time. This is Jack's money time. And how dare this lady think, now she was a great professor, by the way, but she, in her estimation, my time was effectively worthless. Now, I say that to say this. I think that one of the problems is that people treat college in many ways like that, and that's why it's so ridiculously expensive. They treat it like it's a vacation almost, like it's a four-year resort where you go and there's like a pool and there's a gym and there's free food, there's a buffet all over the place. But you're there to learn a skill or learn a craft. And I was trying to understand political theory better at the time, and it was kind of insulting. So I say that to say this. I think that this is largely caused by colleges who, because these loans were subsidized by the government, they said to themselves, hey, why not charge $15,000 a semester? Hey, why not charge $25,000? I mean, what oversight do we have? Yeah, you got, you know, $5,000 for a toilet seat. You got to paint the dorms every year, so that's got to be a couple hundred thousand dollars. Why not just jack up the price on everything and change absolutely nothing, because all of these loans are guaranteed by the federal government? And it worked. The ruse worked. But now you have people who are $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $200,000 in debt, and they can't buy houses and they can't buy cars. And so I largely blame the colleges and largely blame government for this, which is why, Sherry Elicker, we don't have time to go into this, but I've said this on my highly rated radio program. I think the government should eat this debt. We don't have time to go into it, but I think that Joe Biden and the Biden administration should write off this debt, because I don't want to see another housing crisis happen with this student debt bubble, which is $1.4 trillion. And so my read on this is that it would be better for the government to eat this debt as opposed to just keep pushing it down the line until people have loans that they are never going to pay back, in the same way we saw with subprime mortgages. But we don't have time to argue about it, but that's my hot take, and everybody can hate me for it. I'm fine with that. I've just read a lot of literature which would suggest, like, was everybody upset when the government bailed out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac during the whole housing crisis thing? Everybody remember that? Obama administration cut cutting billion-dollar checks to all these banking institutions, and everybody was saying, why isn't that money going to the homeowners? Remember that? I remember that. I remember Tucker Carlson saying that. I remember him saying, why is all this money going to Obama's bank buddies and not to the American people? I hold the same position on that as I do with student loans. I think if the money should go anywhere, it should go to relieving the debt to the American people.
I guess the only thing I would say is if you disagreed with them doing that, then two wrongs don't make a right. So them doing it now for this is just more bailout. And so at some point, people have to take responsibility for what they've done and the money that they've borrowed. And it just doesn't seem fair to the people, the other people out there, and for people that never got to go to college. Maybe they didn't want the debt, so they didn't take out a loan, and now they see that everybody else got a free pass. I know,
right.
But you're right. We don't have time to argue about that.
We can argue about it in the future if you want to, Sherry.
Yeah, you want to call me later? I'll be up. I got all night.
Kimmy, you want to be there too? We could all be on the phone together arguing about this.
Great Friday night activity, totally.
Excellent. Yeah. Let's do it. All right. Well, that was fun. I had fun. Sherry, did you have fun?
I always have fun. Yes, Jack.
Thank you. Jacob, did you have fun?
Yes.
Andrew, did you have fun?
Bop, bop.
Okay.
But this is the part you don't think is fun, but we'll make it fun.
Yeah. Is there any way we could start off on the Mother's Day one, being that was the most recent, longest rant that I went on this hour?
Oh, wow. I put those lower because I didn't think you'd want to read those.
No, I think we should. You want to start there? Sherry, you cool with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
go
so
right
Mother's
ahead.
Day at 253 says, I am so in agreement with Jack. I feel the same way when it comes to family. Thank you, Jack. Wow.
Yeah, area code 253 says, listen to Sherry just trying to navigate this minefield of a topic of Jack and his mother.
808 says, maybe you could benefit your mom by trying to change her opinion. I feel like I relate to you so much that it's not even funny. And my mom slowly is coming around. I'm 31, and I'm a big mouth just like you. See?
Does that make you feel better?
No.
Andre in the 206 says, I'm with Jack. I don't like my mom either. My parents abandoned me at 13, 47 now. Therefore, I slept homeless on the streets. But now she wants to be part of my life. Can only deal with her at Christmas and Thanksgiving when my sister hosts. But I will wish her a happy Mother's Day.
206 is just give Jack's mom this podcast for Mother's Day. She can't hear it. You can read the transcript, maybe. Yeah.
Okay, Rachel in the 425 says, I'm sad John isn't here to share his. Can Jacob pull any prior shows where John has shared a good mom story? I bet all of the moms in that auction John's at are hearing some great mom stories right about now. Although if Sherry inherited her large hands from her mom, thank you, and Jack and Harry inherited his little feet from his, you guys could talk about that.
Yeah, I do have little feet. I have little... You guys know how big my feet are? I've got little girl feet. The rest of me, I'm a like, full-sized man, but I've got little girl feet.
What size are they?
They're like 8.5. I've got little... I've got, like, Sherry, what size shoe do you wear?
5.5.
Okay, great. I could probably fit into your shoes easily. I've got little girl feet.
My feet are smaller than yours, Jack.
How small are your... Well, Jacob, that's because you're... that's because you're only 3 feet tall, Jacob. Everybody knows that. Okay, John's absence. Per John looking for caffeine. I'm just picturing Jacob in the studio with his legs over the stool, just swinging them back and forth like a little kid. Per John looking for caffeine. Definitely code for driving around looking for a copy of Final Fantasy VIII. You know, John is on board with a gun sword. Great addition to the cabin. Yeah.
Abortion 206 says, I'm spitting mad that there aren't term limits, and she's been in office since my early high school days. I'm 46.
Yeah, wow. Brad the Painter, mob mentality is evident even at concerts big and small. I swear I could yell out, quote, we need to run over puppies and baby ducks from the stage, and half the audience would go, woo, yeah.
Movies 253. Did they have pedal extensions on the helicopter Tom Cruise landed?
Very good. Letter of the day is real quick. Unicycle Mike says, "I am spitting mad." Sherry didn't get her intro music today. What's next? No mailbag song? Yes. The letter of the day, 206, bapu 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 bapu, isn't a musician's term. It is the sound that Frank Shire's Cairo Knights robot made when picking random personal questions. That's very true. That's a deep cut listener right there. That's a...
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, dead meme right there. Dead meme right there. It's a segment we haven't done in well over a year, which we dropped because of that specific... that sound effect. That I couldn't listen to it anymore. I said I refuse to listen to that ever again, and now it's been brought back into my life for no reason whatsoever, and I will carry this forward, this momentum, through the rest of my weekend. Should we have that's some inspirational thoughts? No. Great. Sherry.
I think we're going to do another hour. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good. All right.
Okay.